World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Calgary, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
Hey, everybody, it is so good to have you with us today. Today, we are going to dive into a topic that I believe can change your life. We're going to talk about being a miracle worker. The word miracles is used so, loosely, and no one even knows what it means anymore, and it usually kind of means crazy people, but the Bible's very clear that there is a miraculous or a supernatural flow that is available to every born-again believer, and so I want to look at that. You know, when I was about 19 years old, just in my late teens, I began to work in a hospital. And there I begin to be trained in a pilot project for paramedics. And so I begin to get my training by working in the ORs, working in the emergency rooms, the resuscitation rooms. That's where I did a lot of my ET tubes, IVs, trained with doctors. And I begin to get around a whole lot of really bad emergencies. I mean, people are dying all the time, coming in broken and sick and murdered and all messed up from accidents. And so I begin to be plunged into the neediness of mankind. And inside my heart, as just this young man, I begin to cry out to God and just say, God, I want to see miracles. I want to be able to minister to people. And so many people, the more degrees they seem to get in the Bible or in seminary, they seem to begin to back away from the miraculous power of God. Yet, when they get into an emergency, I know because I've ministered to them all around the world, you know, they can have doctorates of divinity and be pastors for years coming in, believing that, you know, that the age of miracles is over. But yet, when somebody they love or someone, you know, or themselves gets into a situation where they need a miracle, they all go back to praying. And so I begin to reach out to God in a very, very just sincere way. I wasn't wanting to see God do miracles for my ego. I was around people that were dying. I was with people that were dying every day. And some of them painfully, bodies mangled, broken, moms saying goodbye to their kids, kids coming in to say goodbye to their moms. And my heart was just wrecked. And I just cried out to God and I said, God, I need to know from the Word, what is it about this thing of getting answers to prayer? And so I want to show you, and we're going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Wow, everywhere Paul went, he wanted a demonstration of the power of God from his preaching, in his services, just walking down the streets. And as you read the Bible, Jesus operated in miracles, signs, and wonders. The apostles operated in miracles, signs, and wonders. And it is so prolific that many people, the only way they could handle the Bible was to develop a doctrine that says signs and wonders stopped with the apostles. And it was only needed for the original formation of the church. In that first century church, miracles were needed, and then after that, we don't need them. When we get to heaven, we'll see that. And so an entire doctrines begin to flow about you give your life to Christ, you go to heaven. when you die, and you get to spend eternity in a blessed place. But down here, you better just learn to hack it out. And so then they begin to go to all the verses about suffering, all the verses about being brave and God, you know, helping you through this. Then from there it went to now God's allowing it to teach you stuff because of pride and oh my. And as I begin to look at this and be in the rooms with people as they beg me for help and I'm wearing my uniform, you know, and many of them who were from our area knew that I was also working with my father in the church and helping out and preaching and praying and for people and ministering to people. And so the more I took the doctrines that were available, like, you know, God allows sickness so that we could, you know, grow and develop, then I could understand what a three-year-old needed with sickness. If in the pain and the heartache and the crying with all that, and I developed a hatred for sickness and disease, hated it. I saw no value, no benefit. Now we know that when you go through a trial, learn from it. When you go through sickness and disease, you know, yes, absolutely get close to God. But to ever think that God was allowing these things to teach people, I began to reach out as never before. Now, to make a long story short, I began to see a stunning amount of miracles. The Bible teaches us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 12 that let me read it to you. It says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. All right? And the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for the good and the profit, the succeeding of others. And so when you look at this, I begin to recognize that Holy Spirit, and I was born again, Spirit-filled. I prayed in that heavenly language. I have been taught that by my parents who were both pastors, and I saw them do miracles. We would have miracle services where we would pray for people, and we would pray for them on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, and people would come down to the front, and we would just take time, and we would lay hands on them. There are times God would show us things about them that we would pray about, that's called a word of knowledge. Other times we would lay hands, and there's nine different gifts, or the Bible talks about there's nine spirituals. And I look at it this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks, I find there are kind of 12 or 9 areas that you'll see Holy Spirit flowing through you. And people have taken that and divided it up into you only get to flow in one gift, maybe two. That's your gift, as though the gifts of healings, for example, is the gift to the guy who's operating in it. But as you dive into this, you realize, no, it's the person who needs a miracle that gets the gift. It's just flowing through you as a child of God. And so the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself through you to others around you and to you.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Do you feel stuck? Unable to move forward in life or achieve the success you've always dreamt of? What if you could transform your future? In this 3-part series by Leon Fontaine, learn how to use your authority to lock and unlock the doors to your future.
I'm so glad you're enjoying the Word of God. If you want to learn to unlock the doors of incredible favor and blessing in your future, and then lock the ones up that you don't want flowing into your life, I'd love to send you this series, Transform Your Future. For a gift of $30 or more, we'd love to send it to you. I believe it's going to transform your life.
Embrace your God-given inheritance and get excited about how you can affect your future. Renew your mind in the confidence that God's plan for you is abundance, success, health, and wholeness.
Have learned that Holy Spirit wants to work with every one of us in everything that we do. I noticed as a parent that Holy Spirit would show me things. I would sense things about one of my children and then, you know, talk with them about it or give them a phone call. I noticed that when I would minister to people who were sick, that healing would flow through me. I could do it in services where we would do a healing service and we'd take the time to prepare the people to receive this manifestation, this flow of the Spirit of God, because even Jesus Christ couldn't do a lot of miracles in his hometown. And in that case, it was because they had such doubt about him. And it says he couldn't. It didn't say he wouldn't. It said he couldn't do any great miracles. So as I began to dive in and study the Word of God, I began to learn to develop how to pray for people in the back of an ambulance, how to pray for them in a ditch, in an accident scene, in the hospital. And I found that right away, people were upset. And so I had to do it almost in secret. I would get, you know, I would pray for somebody in a hospital room with my uniform on because I'm working, and we were based out of a hospital. And so we would assist the nurses, and we had different codes, et cetera. And so sometimes people would talk to me, and they would, if they saw me or they knew who I was as a pastor, they would ask me to pray for them. And then they would tell people that I'd prayed for them. And then I'd get called on the carpet, and the CEO of the hospital would meet with me and say, "You're going to be written up because it's not your job to pray for people." And I said, "I didn't. They asked me." And so I had to learn, and I share how I learned to navigate ministering to people when you're not an official pastor or you are not a chaplain in the hospital, they would say to me, Leon. And every time God gave me wisdom as how to deal with it. So it didn't go on my permanent work record, but at the same time, I got very good at ministering to people in a way that didn't disrupt my job or others or even the person that I was praying for. One time, I'll give you an example of an amazing story. There was a grandma in our church that had a massive stroke. And so they had her in a bed, and I didn't know about it yet, but her kids, so she would have been, I'm guessing, in her 70s, and her kids who were in their 40s came and spoke with me and just said, "You know what? She's in the hospital. Would you pray for her?" And I said, "I'd love to pray for her." They said, "We need you to pray for her right now." And well, it's during my work day. As well, I can come back after work and pray for her because I get in trouble when they see me in a uniform walking around praying for people. And they said, "We need you to pray for her right now." And I said, "I'll tell you what." I said, "I have to go upstairs anyway. Part of my job was doing different work on the wards when we weren't on emergency calls." And so I said, "Get her to the chapel. There's a chapel up there. There's never anybody hardly in it. Just get her in there, and I'll just slip by, close the doors, and I'll get a chance just for a moment or two to pray for her." And they said, "Okay." So I waited a little bit, went upstairs onto the second floor, went into the chapel. They weren't there yet, so I just kind of waited. And I'm just waiting. All of a sudden, I hear this sound, a ding, 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 ding. And I look, and what I didn't know was that she'd had a stroke so bad that half of her body was paralyzed. And so in order to get her to the chapel, which I didn't know or I wouldn't have said this, they loaded her onto a wheelchair, and she couldn't sit up. She was leaning to one side, and her thumb, it was her thumb going through the spokes, not hurting her, it was just ding, 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 as they were pushing her down to the chapel. So they get her into the chapel, and they close the doors, and I've just got a moment or two, I got to get back to work. And so I spoke with her a little bit about God's word. We knew she'd been taught in our church about the word. She understood. She believed in miracles. So I just encouraged her a little bit for about 3 or 4 minutes about God's will for her life. Where does healing fit in this new covenant that Jesus provides it for her? So I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm believing that the gifts of healings are going to flow. And that's just a quick prayer and a quick explanation. So I laid my hands on her, and I just prayed a quiet prayer. I just said, "In Jesus' name, I speak life and healing right now into Grandma." And then I was about to say amen and sneak out, and she starts to scream. I mean, literally just, "Wah!" it's echoing in the chapel down the halls. So I quickly walked out. I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose my job. So I quickly bolted out the door, closed it, and I thought, they'll deal with her. I don't know why she's screaming. Was she just being emotional? What's going on? I didn't hurt her. And so I waited for an hour or two, and then in a couple of hours or so, I grabbed the clipboard towards the end of my day. I thought, I better go check up and see what's going on. So I walked up past her room. And as I walk past Grandma's room, they're there, and Grandma is standing up by the bed, and she is packing. And I slipped in with a clipboard looking very official, and I said, what's going on? And they said, well, she's completely healed. And I said, what? And I looked at her, and I mean, she was moving her limbs. All of that paralysis or that limpness and that inability to use an entire half of her body was gone. And I said, why did you scream so loud? I almost lost my job if it had caught me. And then she explained how that when I touched her, the part of her body that had no feeling and she couldn't use it, it was like it just came on fire. It was like hitting a broken bat, hitting a ball. Have you ever had a wooden bat? And if it's ever cracked and you hit a really hard pitch and what it feels like. And she goes, my entire side of my body just felt like it was on fire. And so she just started to scream. She was so shocked. Then they pushed her back. Once she calmed down, they pushed her back to her room. And she literally begins to climb out of the wheelchair as her body's being restored right there. Then they came in and looked at her and she was completely normal. And they took her out. They wouldn't even wait for tests to see. The kids just got her up and they walked her out of the hospital and they took her home, and she shared her testimony over and over again of the power of God. Now, what took place there was what the Bible calls gifts of healings. And so as I touched her, the presence of God just whoosh, just flowed into her tissues, into her brain. It had to literally restore the brain and so that it would function normally. And I know, we don't get into that. It was a miracle. It was the gifts of healing. It was a manifestation of the power of God. And so if you are the CFO of a company, and God really guides you with a word of wisdom, showing you how to navigate the financial times, the opportunities for that company, you don't have to, you know, brag about it and say, well, the Lord spoke to me last night. That would be a real career-limiting move when it comes to if you're working for a secular company. And so I just taught our people how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You don't need to be the star. You just need to say, you know what? What I'm looking at here when it comes to, next year's, what we roll out for next year's plans for our company. The team that has put the strategies together looks really good. I just don't feel good about it. I got this gut feeling that we're missing something and we need to go back to the drawing board. And so learn to use a language, unless God gives you a real clearance to very clearly tell them, listen, God loves you, but I would learn to speak the language of whatever group I was with. And then I would just minister to people. I didn't even have to pray to minister to people. I could just look at somebody if it was a crowded room and they say, please help me, would you pray? And I'd say, just look at me in Jesus' name. I speak healing into your body. And they just thought we were having a conversation. And I would reach out and put my hand on their shoulder and you could just see them, thank you. Because I was in uniform, I was in a room where where I was getting in trouble for that. Or I'd be in a restaurant with somebody, a business person, who would ask me, could you pray with me? And I said, yes. Well, we don't have time to go find another place. And so I said, I'm gonna reach out and shake your hand. Because they were very careful with me about, but they don't want to look foolish, and my job's not to embarrass them, and I'm not embarrassed of God, but I needed to learn to function in a contemporary way. And so I'd say, you know what? I'm going to reach out and shake your hand and just keep your eyes open and look at me. And as I reached out and shook their hand, like two people just at a lunch table, I would speak straight into them about the presence of God for their marriage or for their troubled mind or whatever they wanted prayer for. And I could do it in about 10 seconds. And then I would let go. Often, I would see full-grown men as they just begin to tear up and they quickly grab a napkin and dab at their eyes as the power power of God restored them and moved the fear aside and dealt with the depression. And you could just see his peace flow over them. Or they'd get up and walk away and tell me, you know, by the time I got home, I need you to know the growth disappeared. It was completely gone. I've had my doctor check it out. And they just think that was a, you know, that the machines that found the growth, you know, were wrong. Over and over again, I learned to minister to people in a way that was spiritually alive, which was up to me to stay that way. And then when I spoke with them, I would talk to them about Jesus and how what he had done on the cross, that he died for their sin, that he took their sickness and disease, that all of the promises of God in the new covenant are yes and amen. The ifs, you know, if you'll do this, of the Old Testament promises are gone, Jesus qualifies us. And I would teach them very quickly and take all the pressure off of them having to manufacture some kind of an emotional faith, which doesn't last if it even works. And so I want to challenge you. We're going to do a second part of this message for time's sake. But I want you to know that the day of signs, wonders, and miracles is not over. God will show you things, reveal things to you. He'll flow through you to lay hands on your baby, your spouse. He'll teach you through his word and his spirit how to walk in health. And another thing that I noticed that was going on in my life was that people had taught me that usually you could only operate in one or two of the nine gifts of the Spirit because, you know, there's three of the gifts of the Spirit that will show you something and reveal something. There's three of the gifts that do something. They do miracles. They do healings. There's three of the gifts that reveal things to you could never know on your own. I'll give you an example. One day, a truck driver came and was delivering something. And so as I'm signing for it on the inside of me, this word suicide just rises up on the inside of me. And so I looked at him and I kept signing. And now I'm learning a lot better to listen to the Spirit of God, a Holy Spirit within me. And often I'll get a word and I'll just use that word. And so I thought suicide. And then I couldn't just get rid of that word. It wasn't just me thinking it up. It was coming from deep within where God speaks to us from down within our belly area. And I just knew suicide, suicide. So I looked at him and I just said, "Don't do it." He said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Don't kill yourself." And he just got kind of angry. He goes, "What the blank, blank, blank you talking about?" And I said, "Well," I said, "are you thinking about it?" And then in this look came over. He goes, "How did you know?" I said, "Well," I said, "as I'm signing this ladle," I said, "this voice deep inside of me just warned me that you're going to kill yourself. God must really love you and care about you if, you know, to show me that." And he goes, "He showed you that about me?" And he told me this story that after the call that I was doing with him, where he was giving me the package and getting my signature, he was going to go, in his words, I was going to go off myself. And so I thought, well, that's the case. I said, let's go grab a bite to eat. Do you mind if I buy you something to eat? Let's talk. Well, sure. I took him out to a restaurant, bought him a big meal, didn't get me anything so I could just talk. And I began to talk about his value and why God loved him. And I continually used this demonstration that he saw of me knowing what he was planning on doing. And that thing completely changed his life. He made a decision for Christ, and an incredible miracle took place. That's an example of a demonstration of the power of God, whether he can show you something about people. And I never do it in a way that makes me look like I'm amazing. I'd always say, well, you know what? Every person who knows Jesus Christ and is born again, the Bible begins to teach them and train them. There's a process of learning the Word of God, the principles of God, with the purpose of being like Jesus. We are to be like Jesus. He said, "The things that I do, shall you do also." And so I want to challenge you today that dive into God's Word. Maybe read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 a few times and read the book of Acts. Read it over and over again. It will show you in there how normal men and women were used by God. And it's not their gift. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is in you. So whatever you need in a situation, He is more than willing to flow through you to meet the needs of others and to show you things about the things you need to know about your business, your marriage, raising kids. He'll guide you. He will be an incredible help to you. I don't just see miracles once in a while. I see daily, weekly, the flow of Holy Spirit showing me things I couldn't know on my own. When I'm praying and ministering to people, the power of Holy Spirit changing them, healing them, setting them free. And it is the most amazing life. And so I want to challenge you, continue to watch programs and keep watching our program here as well. If you don't know this Jesus as your Savior and Lord that I'm talking about, I want to encourage you right now to make a decision for Him. You say, well, Leon, how do I do that? Well, Jesus died in your place. That's the whole reason for the cross, is Jesus came to this planet to die for the entire human race, to take their sins for them, to take the curse, the punishment that we all deserved. He took it. He went to hell in our place, but He rose again, and He gave us new life, but He'll never force it on you. You have to accept Him. And so right now, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept the free gift of salvation. From today and on, I want to get to know You as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That took place in your spirit, not in your feelings. You don't have to feel anything. All you needed to do was to give Him permission, because He will never force Himself on you. So now make sure you keep watching. If you can find a great church in your area, you know, look, be in the hunt for one, but keep watching these programs. You will grow so quickly in this beautiful relationship of you and Jesus.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.